Never seen it.
It is the Drive with Tame Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. I'm disgusted by that.
I've never seen it. That's crazy.
Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Toss.
As much as I rip you for Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul. And
there's a lot to rip me on, but shows I haven't watched.
I have never seen
Breaking Bad.
Friday Night Lights. Who was the wife in Friday Night Lights, the show? Doesn't matter.
I can't remember. I actually liked Friday Night Lights, the movie, better than Friday Night Lights, the show. This is a hot take. I think most people can consider it, but Friday Night Lights, the movie, is above Remember the Titans for me.
Wow.
Yep.
So I need to see it one of these days. Both.
You need to see both.
Yep. Okay.
No doubt.
That'll work. All right.
Well, let's talk some high school football. Let's go back to the Tapman's Towing phone lines. Bring on Joey Wright from the News Gazette to talk about the IHSA playoffs. Joey, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Doing well, guys. Appreciate you bringing me in. Getting ready for this Friday and Saturday. It's the best time of the year to be a high school football fan.
Do you have a take before we get into these games? Friday Night Lights versus Remember the Titans. Am I on an island with Friday Night Lights winning that one?
Believe it or not, I've never seen Friday Night Lights, the movie.
Wow.
Check it out. I remember way back when I was in middle school, we watched like part of Remember the Titans in class. That's the only, I don't think I've seen the ending. So I've got some homework to do.
Man.
I know.
Derek's going to start ripping you like
I'm just assuming that means that he's a lot younger than us.
Yeah. Well, come on. I mean, yeah. And that was Joey Wright. We appreciate his time on it. No, I'm kidding. Joey, I was going to get your background. I know we talked off the air. You grew up a little bit in Arkansas. Where did you come from to get here at the News Gazette?
Yeah, so as a kid, I moved around a little bit. As I said, got this phone line when we lived in Rogers, Arkansas, back when I was in elementary school. And then we spent a year in Beckley, West Virginia, back half of fifth grade and all of sixth grade. And I've lived in Urbana since I was in seventh grade.
Okay.
So, proud Urbana High School alum and Bradley University alum, and was fortunate enough to get a good opportunity with the News Gazette still in high school. I was part of our second class of high school confidential correspondence, and that led to some great relationships. And a year removed from college, here I am. So it's been a good ride.
If you need proof of how much younger he is than us, Pipes, he got a phone when he was in elementary school. That means
It wasn't a smartphone at that point.
I didn't have a smartphone either when I was in middle school.
Were the Braves good when you were there in basketball? Was that one of their NCAA years?
Yeah, so I like to say we qualified for two NCAA tournament appearances when I was there. The second one, we had won the Missouri Valley Conference tournament the week before, COVID and everything got crazy.
That's right.
That was my sophomore year. I did get a chance to see Bradley play Michigan State my freshman year. I went to Des Moines, Iowa for that first-round game. Bradley almost won. It was competitive. We were fortunate to have some success. I say we like I was part of the team. But then then last year, too, selling out against Drake, the regular season finale.
Yes.
And, looked like we were in a good spot to make it again. Should be a fun year this year.
Amen.
Joey, as a Centennial grad, I want to start with the Chargers. You,
boom,
being in this area for a while now, probably understand that until recently, Centennial hasn't really been a factor in the postseason and hadn't had very good teams in a while. You have to go back to Michael LaShore and some of those, a decade or so ago. But Kyle Jackson has been able to turn that program around and back-to-back postseason appearances. What do you make of the Chargers this year? I know they drawn Creep Monet again, who hammered him last year in the postseason and got him out there in the first round. But what do you think about Centennial?
Yeah, that's a tough draw for the Chargers. You hit the nail on the head. But what Kyle Jackson's done with that program is nothing short of remarkable. I mean, I know it seems like every interview I do with him, that 0-9 season comes up his first year. You know, things didn't go so well in 2019, but that's far in the rearview mirror for the Chargers. And, you know, they lost a lot from last year, but Kellen Davis runs a terrific offense under center. Kodiak Pruitt has done a great job filling the shoes of Brandon Harvey at tailback, and Jack Barnhart is kind of the ace of that defense. So many players on the team in supporting roles we could get to as well. But 6-3, started out really hot, 4-0 start. Looked like they might have had a chance at 9-0. Tough middle of the season, losses to Danville and Bloomington, pardon me, and then a loss last week to a good Normal West team. It's a tough draw. Creep Monet is not an easy foe by any means. It's on the road. But, I mean, I think they certainly know the scout from last year, and they've got the talent. That could be an upset pick. I don't know.
What would have to go right in that one, kind of quickly, in terms of the Chargers pulling that off?
Yeah, well, Kellen Davis, a couple times I've seen him again. He can be a mobile quarterback, but can also put the ball where it needs to. He's got a good cast of receivers. Carson Kizer among that group. Kodiak Thruitt's over 700 rushing yards this year. I think they've got to limit mistakes, which you could say in any football game, but if they can feed Pruitt, let him get some yards on the ground, give Davis enough time to distribute the ball and rely on their defense to make plays, right? Jack Barnhart and company, if they can force some turnovers, they'll be in good shape. But I think that starts with that 1-2 punch, Davis and Pruitt.
Before we move out of 6A, Danville, 5-4, they're also in the postseason going up against Washington. Mm. Danville's, at least when I was in school, and for as much as I can know, has been a pretty solid football program and pretty good year in and year out. What do you make of this Vikings team?
Yeah, saw them in week 7 against Champaign Central. Both teams entered that one at 2-4, needing to win out to keep their playoff hopes alive. And at that point in the season, Danville just cranked it up. A 63-22 win over Central on that Saturday. Big 71-0 win against Urbana last week. And in between those two games, 21-3 over Richwood. So the Vikings really cranked it up. They look good. That offense has so many playmakers. You look at Philip Shaw IV, who's also a really talented wrestler. That'll be a wrestler you'll probably see at the State Farm Center here in a few months. Javon Robinson, Caleb Robinson, a lot of playmakers on that Vikings team. When I saw them against Central, I mean, I don't know how many one-play drives they had, but it seemed like they were making it look really easy. The Vikings team that's motivated, Marcus Forrest has done a great job with that program. Cool story, too, had a heart transplant a few years ago and made a full recovery and is energetic as ever. The Vikings, they're playing a good Washington team. That's a good story. Darryl Crouch is in his last year with the Panthers. They're looking to send him out with the state championship. That'll be on the road. It'll be a hostile environment. But if Danville can play with the energy that they've played with all season long, I don't know. That might be another upset pick that you could forecast.
At Joey Wright 2000, that's where you'd follow Joey on Twitter. Of course, that Centennial program really felt the loss of Derek Piper behind center for a long time. I mean, let's be honest. when you graduated, that really put a spell on that team for a while. All right, let's go 5A with Muhammad Seymour. Of course, this program last year really good. This is a team that will host Troy Triad. I think Muhammad Seymour is a team that we could expect, I think, to hang around two or three rounds, don't you?
I think so. I think you're 100% right. They could make a run for sure. You look at that Muhammad program, 9-0 the last two regular seasons, 7-2 this year, but there are two losses at Morton in week one.
Wow.
Morton's going to be another power in those 5A playoffs. And at Quincy last week, a 56-33 loss, and Quincy's going to be a 7A team to watch. They're 9-0. So not bad losses by any means. I actually talked with John Adkins and two of his seniors earlier, Evan Anderson and Braden Pagel. And, they've not lost a beat after losing Wyatt Baum and so many playmakers from a year ago. Luke Dyer under center, doing a great job, kind of in the mold of Wyatt Baum. They can also bring in Donovan Lewis to play in some running situations, can bring a little more of a mobile element to the game. So many guys on Muhammad Seymour's roster, right? You look at that defense, Brock Vandeveer coming over from Champaign Central this year and has made an immediate impact. They've got a great receiving core, great coach. John Adkins, if you've ever talked to him, is maybe the most energetic person I've ever met. So they are going to be a team, you're right, they can make a run. If they can get past Triad, it'll be Joliet Catholic or Peoria next week. That won't be an easy one.
No.
But I would forecast they'll have a chance against about anyone they play.
Joey, you'll know this. Usually when it comes to 3A, you know the teams, right? You know the St. Joe's, the Unities, the Monticello's, PBL. Is a team that always has done really well in football. But the one thing that you don't normally see every season, despite St. Joe being the favorite this week, Unity, Monticello, PBL, all underdogs. That's normally not what we see going into the playoffs with those teams. What do you make of those squads? Obviously, Monticello, a tough one down at DuQuoin, who's a one seed. PBL goes to Princeton, a two seed. And, of course, Unity facing off against Williamsville. Every year it's either St. Joe or Unity squaring off with Williamsville, it seems like. So what are you thinking of those three? And I guess Unity might be the team out of those three that could maybe post a victory?
Well, I would say Unity and Monticello, I saw them both last week. So starting there, Unity at 7-2, I mean, you could say underdog. They're on the road for sure. That'll be a tough one against Williamsville, semifinal rematch from a year ago. But I've seen Unity twice this season. And Dane Eisenmenger at quarterback,
yes.
Only a sophomore. He is going to be a name to know these next 2 years because he has looked really good in both games I've seen him. And this whole season, he's been phenomenal. He's got a great receiving core. It's interesting. They've got a great sophomore class in Toledo. Scott Hamilton's got a lot to work with, but their receiving core, almost all seniors. Jay Saunders, Dalton O'Neill. So everyone Eisenmenger's throwing to has some experience and have made these runs before. Good defense as well. Matt Daniels has written a bunch on them in the pages
right.
That he's got this season. I think Unity will be a team to watch. Not easy going on the road to Williamsville, but 7-2 and 7-2, almost a coin flip, I'd say. Monticello, even though they're a 16 seed, you can never count out Coley Welker, as you guys well know, right? 2018 state champion. Luke Teschke's a great quarterback, put the ball on the money. Ike Young at tailback. Made a lot of mistakes. I've seen them twice as well this season, three times, in fact. And against St. Joe and Unity,
gotcha.
Those mistakes were kind of their undoing. So if they can limit those, limit the turnovers, limit some of those things, they'll be in good shape. And PBL, was that third team you mentioned?
Yeah,
or St.
Right.
Joe?
Yep, PBL. Yeah, then we'll get to St. Joe, but yeah, for this right now, PBL.
Yeah, and PBL's got some big wins this season. Josh Pritchard has really got that program playing good football the last couple of years. They've had the misfortune the last 2 years. They kind of get the easier part of the Illini Prairie Conference early and then the gauntlet late.
Mm.
But they've weathered that this year. Five wins against four losses. It wasn't a sure thing that they'd sneak into the playoffs, but kept it close with Prairie Bloomington Central Catholic and Prairie Central in there. Monticello, all close games. Haven't seen the Panthers in person this season. Saw them last year when they looked a lot different. But that's definitely a Panthers team that's not scared of anybody.
Not easy to play in that conference. That is for sure.
No, not at all.
Whatever sport you want to choose, it is not easy. But, of course, we still have St. Joe Pipes.
We do. You got St. Joe's 6th seed against 11th seed Carlinville. St. Joe will be at home. Joey, what do you make of the St. Joe squad?
Yeah, really impressed with what they've done. Sean Skinner taking over, of course, for the legendary Dick Duval a few years ago and was right around that 4-5 win mark for a number of seasons, but the last 2 years, it looks like that program has finally turned a corner. Logan Smith, senior quarterback, can do it all. It's an able call during basketball season as well, but does a fantastic job of getting the ball where it needs to go. He can run anything. If St. Joe can get the ball inside the 10-yard line, I don't want to call it an automatic touchdown, but you get that kind of push-push going. You know, they can really dominate those short yardage situations. Good offensive line, too, led by Braxton Waller at center. Coy Taylor, two-way standout, also a name we'll hear during basketball season. Tanner Steens in that receiving core as well. That's a Spartan team to keep an eye on. Of any team from the IPC, I would forecast them to make the deepest run.
Good call.
Joey, has the tush-push made his way to high school football? I got to ask.
Well, you know, it depends. As I said, St. Joseph Ogden, I don't know if it's kind of a little bit of a different play, but I would say it has. I mean, you know, you've got, for instance, Muhammad Seymour, you know, watching what they'll do with Donovan Lewis. They'll bring him in at quarterback. They'll put Brock Vandeveer, their linebacker, and a tailback. It's a little different, but kind of the same idea, right? You put your big guys in and trust your line and just you kind of death by a million paper cuts. You know, 3 yards here, 4 yards there can add up to a long back-breaking drive. That's what I've seen from a few teams more than anything this year.
Read Joey's stuff at the News Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter at JoeyWright2000.
Hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, you know.
That was a great question, though, because I don't know either. Yeah, I don't know either, so I'm glad you asked that, Pipes.
In two-way, Joey, we know that Caden Fagan has become a fan favorite for Illini fans, developing into that feature back for the Illini. Arthur Lovington at Wood-Hammond, his alma mater, 9-0, one seed in 2A. They're hosting Quincy. What's Arthur Lovington's chances of going real deep in this one?
I think they've got a great chance. And, you know, I don't want to say – it'd be easy to say they don't miss Caden Fagan, right, being 9-0. That's a lie. I mean, I think anyone would take him on their team. But Caden actually – so he played quarterback at Arthur Lovington at Wood-Hammond.
That's right.
And was maybe the biggest high school player you'll ever see. But Chase Parsons at quarterback this year, 6'1", 6'2", 190 pounds. So he's well-built as well. And can run that kind of physical offense that Caden did so well. Maddox Spurred at tailback adds a nice dynamic. The Ty brothers, Jacob and Nathan, have been big for the nights this year. Saw them beat Arcola in week 8, 32-10 on the road. And then Sullivan Elkhart Valley was undefeated last week, and Arthur took care of business 42-13. So I would think my takeaway from the Arcola game was they didn't look great, but they answered that with a win against a fellow 8-0 last week in dominating fashion. So I think the Knights are in great shape.
Britt Miller, another one of those high school quarterbacks that was big. For sure.
Yeah.
Went on to some good things here at Illinois. All right, 1A, you know, Tuscola's got to face a really good Belleville-Altoff team. I heard today that Belleville-Altoff has a 6'5 linebacker and four guys going D1. Villa Grove, of course, my alma mater, going to Leroy to play a really good Leroy squad. And GCMS, they'll be playing Aurora Christian, I think a team that beat Unity in the state playoffs in the championship a few years ago, if I'm correct. I don't see really the 1A squads going too far, but it'd be great to get at least round one.
Yeah, and I think there are a number of teams that can make it out. You know, Leroy's had the fortune of having 7 home games this year. They'll add an 8th this week against Villa Grove. So the Blue Devils definitely have their work cut out for them, but BJ Stelesnik has done a great job at Leroy. They've been great all year. Their one loss on the road against Gibson City, Melvin Sibley. Salt Fork at 7-2. You can never count out the Storm.
Yes.
Play West Central this week. You go back to 2A for a minute. You know, Westville and Rockridge, that's an 8-9 matchup. Both teams are 8-1. I don't think 1A is quite that deep, but it's not far off. You know, Leroy and company, you know, the 5th seed at 8-1. Salt Fork, 7-2 as a 7th seed. Some big hitters in 1A. It's going to be interesting to see. I think it's kind of what you get where teams just beat each other up. It's going to be interesting to see who emerges from this first weekend.
I've had a few beers in Westville, so I should have – I don't know why I forgot about Westville. I apologize in this. There's so many teams in our area. It's amazing. I can't forget STM in 8-man football. I think going in ranked, are they number one possibly with Peace Boomba and that squad? But I would assume, I know South Beloit's good in the 8-man. I know Milford's got a really good team. What do you think of STM and their chances of maybe running really deep in that 8-man football?
They've got to be among the favorites to win the 8-man state championship. I don't think that's overstating it at all. Peace Boomba, as you guys well know, may be the best 8-man football player in the state. And I mean, he would hold his own. Any 11-man program would be happy to have him. Nate Watson, of course, was the head coach at Urbana when I was a student there. So, gotten to know him really well, runs a great program. Last year, they made a run to the semifinal round, and I think they were a year ahead of schedule because they brought back everyone except their quarterback last year, Matthew Lorenzo.
Yep.
And Ben Horn's done a great job of coming in and running the offense in his place. Everyone else is back in the fold. Peace Boomba can do it all, a two-way standout. You know, it's not uncommon to see him have 4 or 5 touchdowns and a couple hundred yards with maybe an interception or two on the defensive side of the ball. So St. Thomas More, you know, they've got to take it 1 week at a time. Can't get too far ahead of himself.
Right.
But if they were playing at Monmouth College for a state title in a few weeks, would not surprise me at all.
Joey, real quick before we let you go, I guess some love to volleyball. Got some area squads still in the mix there. Anything that we should know in terms of who to pay attention to in the coming weeks with volleyball?
Yeah, a lot of great matchups here in the regional round this week. Bismarck hitting Rossville, Alvin, and Westville, a good one tomorrow night. Looking around the area, I believe Muhammad Seymour is facing U-High tomorrow. I'll have to go back and double-check that. But the Bulldogs have been right up around the top of our area rankings all season long, toward the top of Matt Daniels' top 10. Champion Central's still
Central,
alive.
Yeah, no doubt.
Look good, yeah. So you can't they had a great squad last year and brought a lot back from that team. So the Maroons could be a team that is one to watch. And Judah Christian, how about that? They've stumbled a little bit, lost a cornerstone in the last week, but that was their only loss. I think they're 24-1. Still, you know, keeping hope alive in Class 1A. So the Tribe have had a great year, best year in program history by a lot of accounts, and they'll be a team to watch. St. Thomas More, too, is still alive.
Yeah.
They've got a great great program, great coaching staff. Can't forget to mention the Sabres.
And, of course, shout-out to Cricket Wagner, the best name in volleyball in the area for Champaign Central. Joey Wright, I don't know how you keep track of all of it. I used to kind of do this when I was at WAND, and it always alarmed me, sometimes kind of maybe scared me, how much I knew about all the area teams. But when you're at these games like you are and just doing it night in and night out, you're a great man to come to for knowledge, Joey. So well done. Keep up the great work with the News Gazette. putting up with Jim Ross, though, I know is not an easy thing, but you can do it. you throw my name out when you can, because I think Jim's scared of me.
Much appreciated. So I'll pass that along. And always a pleasure running into you, too, at St. Thomas More game.
Yes. Look forward to the basketball season and seeing you there as well. Keep up the great work, Joey. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.
Joey. At Joey Wright 2000. I actually saw Rosso the other day. It's been the first time in so long that I have seen Jim. You talk about a kid or a kid. You talk about a guy that was one hell of an athlete, and his kids were all good athletes. He was a really good athlete, Jim Rosso. So the News Gazette does such a good job with everything. I'm not just saying they don't cover Illinois great and all this other stuff, but prep sports. I mean, our area, Jeremy Warner and I used to laugh about this, that when he lived, of course, growing up at Piatone, I believe, right up near Kankakee, he's like, Lon, I never had a TV station come and shoot one of our football games. You know, I mean, that was unheard of. And around here, you are almost taken aback if you don't see an area TV station at one of your games, because we know our stations around this area do such a great job of getting out to so many games.
Yep.
And then the News Gazette just does such a great job of breaking things down, covering it. I mean, if you need any knowledge, you just open that paper and you can find out everything you need to know. So it's great stuff by this. I know Joey's had to step now his game up when Colin left, Colin Likas, who did a wonderful job as well. But Joey's hasn't missed a beat. And I didn't realize he was one of the crews of the High School Confidential, because – in the paper, of course, they always run each week. They run a High School Confidential, and they have someone from each high school that reports on their high school, like what's going on, not just sports, you know, just everything in general. And I didn't realize Joey was one of those that then has now stepped into a major role at the News Gazette. So very cool stuff. Very cool stuff.
Very insightful. And it was good to run down a number of squads that obviously have us paying attention this weekend and hopefully for weekends in the future.
Yeah. I never really got much coverage when I was in high school. You don't think that's because I wasn't very good, is it?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so either. I think they had something against me, is what I'm thinking. Oh, wait, you don't want to
rub people the wrong way.
You don't want to cover the guy that scores seven a game in basketball? I don't understand that.
I'm guessing like the sports editor, maybe the editor of the paper, like, had a daughter he didn't want to see, like, your picture.
Oh, that's
because,
what it
you
is.
Know, this guy, a little too handsome, a little too charming.
Look, he's 6 foot, 98 pounds.
Let's keep him away. Keep him off her radar.
I am forgetting, and I'm going to – I know, Marty, I apologize. I totally forgot about Salt Fork. Salt Fork, man, the last couple of years – well, the last few years, they have been so good in all their sports. Boys and girls, they have just been – really dominant over there in Catlin and Jamaica and that crew. Bill Engel, is that who it was? Now, is that right? So we had a gentleman that covered our games for the News Gazette back in the day, and he was wonderful. And I think it was Bill Engel. And he just – I could be wrong on that, and somebody's going to correct me, but he was one of the nicest people to ever visit with. And I can remember one game – that we won a big game, and he did actually talk to me after the game, and that was very cool. I mean, it's a moment that you just sit there and you're like, oh my gosh, and then of course you can't wait to see the paper the next day to see your name in it. So it's really cool. I know earlier today we were talking with Stevie J about how to say names, and that was one thing when I worked in television. I made sure if I was covering a Central A&M football game, let's say, and there was a wide receiver that scored a touchdown that had kind of a tricky name, I would always go into the crowd, or I would go to someone that I knew at that school and say, how do I say this name? Because Grandpa and Grandma are watching tonight, and I do not want to tick off Grandpa and Grandma. Now, Mom and Dad, they kind of are like, they laugh at it, you know. But Grandpa and Grandma are like, hey, Lou Engel, that's it. Yeah. I'm sorry, Lou Engel, not Bill. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much.
They'll be at your throat. Mess that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're like, come on, man, that's my grandson or granddaughter. Don't you be getting that wrong. Lou Engel. Thank you, Jeff. Lou Engel was he was wonderful in our area and for our area. That's it. That's
there you
all
go.
I got.
We're due for a break. I got to say this real quick, though.
That's a good
But before.
Question. How did Leroy get seven home games?
I don't know. I have no idea. Before we catch a break, prior to the segment, Lon was going off about what's wrong with society, and I got to continue that conversation because you haven't seen Friday Night Lights. Joey Wright hasn't seen Friday Night Lights, and I'm guessing Kyle, as young as he is, probably hasn't seen Friday Night Lights, the movie. Kyle, save us all.
I have not seen
it. My goodness. We need to. How about this? In the next 2 months, before the end of 2023, you will watch Band of Brothers.
I'm not really one to talk, am I?
Although I had somebody the other day say they started it.
I haven't seen a lot of...
Kara said she started it, and she's like, it didn't do much for me. I don't know. I thought Band of Brothers was really good.
I probably shouldn't get too worked up, because if you wanted to go the list of, like...
Did you see Peaky Blinders?
Have not seen Peaky Blinders. Peaky I watched Blinders? The first episode. It's kind of hard to understand them.
Oh, my goodness. I gave up after the first episode. I was like, I can't understand them. And then some, like 500 people are like, you have to watch it. And I think eventually you start talking like that.
Do you flip the subtitles on, or you just pick it up as you go?
No, I listened. You just have to really listen.
You pick up the dialect.
The Peaky Blinders. Am I like, I'm throwing out like so many different.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a.
Languages here. I don't even know. I better stop.
No, you're good. All right. If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. After this break, we'll play some Brett Bielema. Spoke to the media today to update us on what's new going into the bye week, says The Drive.
Should we leave it in the garage for now?
Go ahead. Leave it in the garage for now.
You can leave that stuff there just for now, or schedule 2 Men in a Truck junk removal to come out and remove it for you. 2 Men in a Truck has multiple solutions. If the just for now stuff isn't needed, we can junk it. If it's items you need later, we can store the just for now stuff until later. Has your just for now become more than you anticipated? 2 Men in a Truck has solutions for your residential and commercial junk removal at 2Men Champagne.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circus Sports is now available in Illinois. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens. I've been a lifelong sports bettor, and I'm the owner of Circus Sports. We're excited that the Circus Sports app is now ready for action. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, and more. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circusports.com. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234.
Are you tired of getting the short end of the stick and always being stuck with cold water for your showers? Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing is here to help. With current tax incentives and rebates, you can save up to $900 on a high-efficiency tankless water heater, unlimited hot water, and saving on your energy bills. It seems like the best gift you could give your home. With the current promotion of 0% financing for qualified applicants, you can't afford not to call. 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Your home's best friend.
Elimine el estrés con iMart Express. Por tiempo limitado, clientes nuevos obtienen 40% de descuento en su compra entera, protegida con una garantía gratis que cubre sus lentes completos por un año. Una oferta fantástica, ahora con tranquilidad invaluable. Visítenos hoy, obtenga su examen al lado y ahorre 40% en su nuevo par hechos el mismo día con rapidez gratis y completamente protegidos por un año con garantía gratis. Ahorre tiempo, dinero y el estrés con iMart Express.
Join Urbana Park District for Climate Action Week, October 1st through 8th. We all can help take care of the environment. Be sure to join us at Crystal Lake Park Saturday, October 7th from 1 to 4 p.m. for a celebration of the environment that will feature live music, guided hikes, and more in partnership with the Champaign County Climate Coalition. Call 217-384-4062 for more information or follow the Park District on Facebook and Twitter.
Ready for some much-needed pampering and girl time? Merle Norman is just the place. Join in on the fun and frolicking on Witch's Day Out, Friday, October 27th, starting at 11, at Merle Norman Cosmetic Studio. We're talking door prizes, a spinning wheel with prizes and treats. Gather your friends and jump on your broom for a day of fun. Learn what works for your skin and rock some hot new looks. It's the fun Witch's Day Out at Merle Norman, Friday, October 27th, starting at 11.
Mom, she won't stop touching me. Breakfast stinks.
Guys, no phones at the table.
Family dinner time? Not easy. But you know what is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care. When you need convenient, affordable care for minor illnesses and injuries, you need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. Be seen in person or connect 24/7 online when and where you need it. Learn more at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Should we leave it in the garage for now?
Go ahead, leave it in the garage for now.
You can leave that stuff there just for now, or schedule 2 minute a truck junk removal to come out and remove it for you. 2 minute a truck has multiple solutions. If the just for now stuff isn't needed, we can junk it. If it's items you need later, we can store the just for now stuff until later. Has your just for now become more than you anticipated? 2 minute a truck has solutions for your residential and commercial junk removal at 2menchampagne.com.
Looking for a place to host a corporate meeting, intimate gathering, or a large-scale celebration? If so, the University of Illinois' Alice Campbell Alumni Center offers the perfect space and staff to make your function a success. A few rooms offered at the center include the elegant ballroom, the Richmond Family Gallery, and the premier and professional executive boardroom. For more information on renting a space at the Alice Campbell Alumni Center, visit uiaa.org/alumni-center or call 1-800-355-2586. Go Illini!
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West Springfield Avenue for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, with 16-ounce drafts, just $3.25, well drinks, $4. Taco Tuesdays get you big tacos for $2.50, $2 off on tequila shots and margaritas, $5. Get Mexican beers for $4 each. Go south of the border on Tuesdays at Pia's, then there's Whiskey Wednesdays and karaoke a few times a month on Fridays with $4 fireball shots. Uh-oh, Pia's is the place to party any day of the week. I'm on the DJ today, baby. Let's go! Do we technically have to get past Halloween?
I will say, I think it was last night watching the NBA, I saw my first Christmas commercial.
Boom!
Walmart
is doing a Christmas commercial.
Doing a Christmas commercial. I was a little angry. I'm one of those people that I've eased up a little bit. You know, come on. But before Halloween, it's too far.
I know.
Way too far. If you want to blame anybody, you should blame me. I took Lon's song request and I played it.
Kyle had quite
a reaction.
Yeah, Kyle, yeah, what was it?
This is disgraceful. Christmas music on October 25th.
I played this at the office today. I was listening to Christmas music. It just puts me in a good mood. And Mariah's just, I love her voice.
I will say my son's favorite movie right now is How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
The
newer one.
The newer.
But so I've been, that's on my TV screen every day at home. So I, but he's 1.5. He doesn't know any better.
You're saying I should
it's
know
Christmas
better?
It's Christmas a little bit early at our house, I guess.
I'm ready for Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
I'm ready for all of it, man. Yeah. I love Christmas season.
Kyle, are you one of the sticklers? Is it December 1st for you or what?
It's around Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta get through that, like that weekend right after Thanksgiving, you start busting it out.
Mm. And I'm fair with that. Like, I totally get that. I totally understand why everybody, or why 90% of the people
that,
sit.
At least that's their preference.
Yeah.
No. It doesn't mean, like, if Lon wants to sit in his office and listen to Mariah Carey and...
Yeah. I'll throw Straight No Chaser Christmas music on in July. I mean, if I'm just in the mood, I'll just throw that in and be like, let's go. I don't know. I'm kind of a weird one. But I think Mr. Grinch.
I was going to say that. I was.
I think we all know this, though. I mean, that's been established.
Yeah.
Hey, who won the NBA games last night before we get to Brett?
You had the Nuggets beating the Lakers.
Okay.
I didn't. I guarantee you, I didn't have a bet on Anthony Davis to score like 25 points. And he had 17 at halftime, then didn't score after halftime.
Oh, my goodness.
I definitely didn't bet on that. And then in the second game, you had the Suns beat the Warriors.
Really?
Suns minus Bradley Beal, who's out.
Wow.
Devin Booker has a big game. The Warriors missing Draymond Green.
Who did the Suns trade? The big dude. DeAndre
Ayton is now a Blazer.
So maybe he was the problem. Somebody said
or
that-
Chris Paul. In the playoffs. He's now on the Warriors.
Yeah, that could be.
I still think that's a super weird fit. I don't know that. I don't think it's going to work personally, but that's just my opinion.
Remember who just said they watched
They watched Peaky Blinders because of Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy. I can't do his voice. He's got cool.
Is Tom Hardy in Peaky Blinders?
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah, he's one of the main guys. You well, you got to get through the first half of the first show.
Apologies.
And 651 says, I'm with Scrooge McPipes. Scrooge Big McPipes. Def had his Christmas Pandora station rocking after the Phillies lost. See, it just kind of puts you – try this. When you go to bed tonight, throw on Pandora, Spotify, whatever you listen to. Just throw a little Christmas music on, and it brings you some joy.
I will say, there is no Halloween music. There is no Thanksgiving music.
That's right.
So it you can maybe understand if there were some other holiday music that would be go-tos. But. Yeah.
But I understand that I'm one of the 10% that really enjoys Christmas music all
year. It's fine.
Maybe not all year, but for a lot of the season.
Would you get out and put Christmas lights in your house in October?
No. Now, I am one of those that
would that
wait.
Be too far?
That'd be too far, but Christmas music.
You eat candy canes all year round.
I do.
And
I still
taught
got
Kyle
two more.
To never deny an offering of a candy cane from Lon. You just don't do that.
I kind of get mad when you guys are like, no, I'm good. I'm like,
I shouldn't tell you
really?
That I've instructed him to do that. You want to think out of the desire of his heart, he wants a candy cane all year round.
If you went to his car right now, there's a box in the back. He just throws it in there. He's got like 50 of them. He's like, I'll just give these to Lon for Christmas, and he'll think that I'm giving him a gift.
I've seen the disappointment on his face before. There was one time when I said no, and I saw he was disappointed, and I haven't said no again. Now, he's right. To his credit, it's a nice little
good
little snack.
Low-calorie snack that it's good for your voice, the mint. So I would recommend it to all radio sports guys, talk guys, DJs, etc.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Anybody that has to do a lot of talking for a living.
Yes.
Someone who has to do that is Brett Bielema, your Illini football coach. You met with the media today to discuss the bye week and all new happenings with his football team. We teased it a little bit earlier in the show. You'll hear this and that in the media segment. Johnny Newton, who was ejected for targeting, they did – challenge it, review it in terms of the suspension in the first half against Minnesota. Yeah. That was upheld. Johnny Newton will miss that first half after this bye week when they go to Minneapolis. But here's all the other updates that Brett Bielema provided. He spoke to the media today. Brett Bielema.
Really all of our high rep guys, so our ones basically, and did a little bit of work yesterday, a lot of Devo work today was our ones went basically the first hour of the practice, and then we moved it. Got a lot of wet ball work. I have a feeling down the stretch here in the last four games of the regular season, two home, two away, we're going to find some weather along the way. So to get some wet ball work with our ones, not just a wet ball, but also footing. You think everything changes with that. And then we moved inside here, did a lot of twos, became our ones, and then our Devo and threes became our twos. Got a lot of good Illinois versus Illinois. Some guys have been banged up. We were holding those guys out, obviously. But with all intentions, I would think that Reggie and Keith probably have a very good chance of being back Minnesota week. We're not going to push them into this week, but we'll see where that next week from there. As far as from the game, I can't really recall anybody. Obviously, Johnny will miss the first half of the Minnesota game, but from an injury standpoint, I think we actually came out of it halfway decent on the back end. So take advantage of the bye week. I've always thought the bye week is about three things: rest and recovery. Your guys that have got a lot of high reps, obviously take a inventory of your two deep and your Devo guys and try to push them and make them develop in this off week as much as we can, make them feel the urgency of a game week, even though they don't feel it during the course of the week when they're sitting behind somebody else. And then third thing, the biggest thing is just individual, positional, unit, and team analysis. Kind of self-scouts, but also just how you're doing everything. So I've been gone since Sunday afternoon. I think I was in six states in 3 days and then got back yesterday afternoon. We got good work today, have good work tomorrow, and then I'll take back off and do some recruiting Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then Sunday we should, because of Minnesota, obviously still have a game. We'll get a chance to watch that, but we'll have a good jump on Minnesota on Sunday, a little bit tomorrow as well. With that, open up questions.
Have you or are you going to appeal Johnny's?
Already done.
Suspension?
Yep. Already done and denied, and it is what it is.
How would you characterize just the conversations with the Big Ten this season with officials and all that?
This is my, 10th year in the league as a head coach. I think every coach gets off the field on Saturday, and you're going to see things through a different lens. What I try to do is just kind of take the perspective of, hey, what do I see during the game? I make evaluation what I see on Sunday. I would say on a whole, we usually turn in, three, four, five plays. I think some that I've been surprised to answer, some I've also been satisfied, but it really doesn't matter. All we use it for is teaching. I literally turn in plays sometimes to teach my guys, but also to teach, you know, officials or the Big Ten, like, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Am I seeing it right? And we'll get a varied amount of responses. But Johnny's a little bit different because that was an NCAA appeal, and that's a formal NCAA process because of him being ejected from the game. So I had a conversation with him last night when I found out, and Johnny, you know, you saw how much it hurt him during the course of the game. My appeal was obviously that he used his hands in some fashion, but I understand why I got called, and I understand why we're standing here today, and we just got to move forward. The biggest thing is we have to move forward. As a D lineman, one of the things we commonly talk about is you're going to have plays where you beat a lineman, you have a free shot, and a quarterback can't see you. And we've talked extensively how to take that play on. And thankfully, we haven't had any of these. Johnny, I believe, has had over 100 pressures. I don't know how many sacks and hurries, and has never been even where close to this. So, unfortunately, it causes him to miss, half of a game and half of another. But it is what it is.
Coach, that rule about missing the next.
Yeah.
What's your general? I get it.
One of the things, I was actually on the committee that when we first implemented this rule, right. I was on the rules committee, and we had talked about different ways. And the main thing is we want to curb the behavior of our student athletes, sure. Right? In the name of player safety. And I don't think unequivocally anybody can sit back and say that hasn't changed, right? Like our guys, I think the game, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, has changed dramatically about how they launch, how they use correct. Their head. I think it's almost obvious now. Like you will hear people in the stands say, "Oh, that's tough," because people recognize when it happens, okay. Right? Like when people lead with their head and use it as a weapon, and it's set up to help protect the defensive player more than the correct. Offensive player, right? So, I get it, I understand it. I think they'll always take a reevaluation of where it's at. It's hard, especially when you get down to the end, right? Like guys that are in limited number of games. I've seen examples at the end of each year where a guy's been basically removed or prohibited from a bowl game or a conference championship game. And, that plays bang, bang. You saw Johnny's reaction. Like, he had no intention of doing anything more than he saw that ball. He knew he could get it out. And unfortunately, that's a play that could have changed the whole direction of the game, right, in a positive way. But unfortunately, it happened, and we just got to bite it and move on.
Is it too punitive, though? Is it too much?
Yes, I think it's up to discussion.
Yeah. Coach, what you've seen on the field this year, has it changed at all how you evaluate your recruiting needs and specifically how you may want to approach the portal in the offseason?
Yeah, great question. I think anytime as a head coach, we have 120 rosters on a player, we have 85 scholarships, we're a 3-5 team. If we were a 5-3 team, 7-1 team, last year, we were 7-2 going, right? Like, whatever it is, like, you have to evaluate where you're at. It doesn't make any difference what your record is. It just makes a perspective where your roster is. You have to understand that players that you may have thought aren't playing at the level that you want, or maybe you, because of injury, you've had certain situations, that definitely takes a toll.
How do you handle Yakis has handled his positional change, whether it's permanent or not? It's
when do you have a position change?
He was putting his hand.
Oh, yeah. Well, in our package, you'll see before last week, there are several times where he did that. Last year, we did it with other defensive ends. We did it with Owen Carney my first year. So there really hasn't been a position change. But I think the biggest thing, we got to maximize our guys' strengths. And last week, with Keith out of the game, we felt with the personnel that they were showing, they're a big 11 personnel team. They didn't do much big unless they're in short yards or goal line, obviously. So nothing's really changed with him. I think he's I've been really pleased. I thought 2 weeks ago Gabe might have had his best practice session of the week going into the Maryland game. And I know he's stressing and pushing to make as much out of each opportunity, but I'm excited to see him in the last four games.
So because Charlie and Jamo kind of work together so much, he can still be in.
Do you want to write a story on that? Is that what you're doing? like he's an outside linebacker that played outside linebacker and defensive end.
Okay. You talk a lot about taking inventory of where you guys are at. What has that told you? I'm sure you and your coaches have done it. Your big picture inventory, what did that tell you about the first 8 weeks of the season?
Well, I think without a doubt, things offensively, short yardage, being able to put points on the board in certain phases of the game, those two jump out. I met with Aaron and Barry before I left town on Sunday, gave them specific things to look on that we're going to actually review here today as a staff. End of half for us defensively has obviously been an issue, end of game. And then from a real logistical standpoint, even like with our twos and Devo out there today, football's football. We were practicing early down out there today. If our offense hit a couple early down big play hits, if we do that offensively, you're going to win a lot of games. If you don't, it's very restrictive to your offense. Like I think we did a stat a couple weeks ago where of our 17 scoring drives, we had to play a 15 yards or more in each one of those, right? 16 to 17. Like that's should tell you right there that you need explosive plays to score points. And then the penalty factor, especially on defense, anytime we've had a 15-yard penalty, it's almost perfect recipe for them to get at least a field goal, if not a touchdown. So those self-inventories are really big.
This is your 1 week off week this year. What's the significance of that for recruiting?
Yeah, it's big. You guys know, obviously, we do a lot in these bye weeks. I kind of added two more days into the schedule than I normally have been. Now, they changed the rule, too. We shortened it down from a number of days. It used to be to 33. So, but I had Bart with me for basically 3 days. I'll go back out on the road on the back end this week, and Barry and maybe another coach will be with me. We were kind of in a certain region of the country this last 3 days, and I'll be in a certain different region this week. And it's really, for the first time, we've never really dabbled into the high school, but just with certain guys that we feel we need to make an appearance and presence on, that's a little bit more this week or this year than ever. But having one bye week definitely changed our numbers.
What do you want you guys doing this weekend? I mean, off the feet? I mean, what's your general idea when you're having an opening week like this?
Players, coaches?
Yeah, players and coaches.
Well, I think from a player standpoint, we're gonna working pretty good Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, especially right. Tuesday, Devo. Friday morning, they'll have a lift. Our guys, because Friday is a travel day, normally we're on the road, mm-hmm. they miss a lot of class on Friday, right, when we travel. So I didn't want to do anything to give them the day off Friday because that would probably ensure they're going to miss a class again. So right. we wanted to work them through Friday. And then I'm encouraging them Friday night, you know, to do something they don't normally get to do, whether it's watching local guys, watching high school football right. game. They should enjoy college football on Saturday, watch some of their buddies. Obviously, teams that we're going to play. I know Minnesota, I believe Indiana's live. I know Purdue's live and Northwestern. So chance to watch or pre-advanced look. And then football's football. Like, you know, like there's a lot going on in our kind of world right now, right? Like with college football, especially within our conference. And I think the more our guys can educate and learn about others, right, through kind of observing, I think that's just a positive.
What do you make of this sign stealing? I mean, this yeah. probably no more inside than outside. So just
you know, it's definitely been you know, it's my 15th year, right? I know when I first became a head coach was when I really began to think about it. Now we were running a huddle offense, so it really didn't become paramount. I'm telling you, I steal signals on game day, right? Like that's part of it on game day. I watch defense. Usually when we're on offense, I watch the defensive signal caller, and I'll try to get a cue on that. And then when we're on defense, I'll watch an offense. And sometimes you can tell when they're going to go fast or when they give you a certain look that you're going to get again. So that's a big part of the game. And then when I went to the NFL, one of the things that jumped out to me, because of all the things that happened before I got there, they had in-helmet communication. So whether it be at the end of my last tenure when I was in the league or the beginning of this one of the things I've strongly advocated every year is in a helmet. Literally, one of the first conversations I had with Tony Petitti is in helmet communication. I swear, this was last spring, summer when he was named. So I get it. Like, I think in this league, though, I've been very fortunate, right? Very blessed. This is my third head coaching job twice in this league. I learned under Hayden Fry to Kirk Ferentz to Barry Alvarez, worked with Bill Snyder at Kansas State. And one of the things I always learned when I was working with those guys is you have to have a reputation or feeling within our league that everybody else is going to abide by what you believe is the rules, right? And I get where it's at. Like, I've tell you, I've as a head coach, I've picked up and called another head coach when I feel something has been wrong. If not, I report it to the Big Ten officials and kind of let them handle it. Because I think we all have to assume that's happening. I mean, as a head coach, I work my tail off to get this job, this opportunity. I tell our coaches every day, do things by way that they need to be done and in a way that abides by everything we are. But I think that's the standard we all got to feel. Whatever's going forward, we just believe that people are doing things right. And I think that's said in all phases of football, especially in this conference. And, you know, I don't know anything about that whole deal, but I do know that's how I've kind of approached it as a head coach.
What's been the message to the team more as far as what's in front of them down the stretch? Of
huge, season? Huge. And tomorrow's Thursday. That's in front of us, right? Like that's a big deal. It's not funny. That's what I believe, right? Like, Thursday's in front of us. I gave them the agenda today of what we're going to do. Friday, they got a work day. Saturday, they have off. Sunday, we'll jump into Minnesota prep. We have four straight weeks of four opportunities. And if we go into Minnesota week thinking about the end of the year, if we go into the Minnesota week thinking about Indiana or Iowa or Northwestern, we're not going to get anywhere we need to go. So our focus will be on this bye week preparation. A lot of people call it an off week. I call it a work week, right? Like, we got a lot of work to do here during the work week and then get us into a week that we got a little bit of an advantage on Minnesota. So From a timing standpoint, that's something we got to emphasize.
But you mentioned after the game that maybe you got more of a man team or play more man along those lines, especially at the end of half.
I said that at the end of half, right?
Yeah. So what's the balance there between man and zone? And why do you feel like maybe
it depends on the team? I think there's, you know, for us, you got a young quarterback in that game, a quarterback that hadn't, you know, played a lot. So I think the one part he can do is they were simplifying his reads and letting him look at certain things. And with a man, you got people attached to him and all over him, right? So at the end of half, there's obviously varying things on what you can do, but we got hurt a little bit at the end of half on a couple straight zone plays, and that's what I was referencing.
Stevie J Broadcasting is proud to be a part of the Disability Resource Expo coming to Marketplace Mall from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October 28th. Up to 100 exhibitors will share information and answer questions regarding resources available to enhance the lives of people with disabilities and seek advice in reaching out for answers. The expo is free and open to the public. Visit disabilityresourceexpo.org.
You've heard about the doggy bag, right? From Bulldog Disposal Muhammad, a 6-cubic yard canvas bag that can be used for easy cleanup instead of a big dumpster. The one-time use bag is now available and you can save the delivery charge. Get the doggy bag at Do It Best Hardware in Champaign at 107 West Springfield. So fill up the bag, call Bulldog Disposal, have it disposed of, and you'll be organized. Go to bulldoggybag.com for all the details. That's bulldoggybag.com.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
Here's what somebody recently said at Pards in Urbana. I was there just a few minutes, and somebody came up and asked if I needed help. And they were incredible, helped me find the size of boot I needed. And then I bought a second pair, too. Everything was friendly. Everything was excellent. Visit Pards in Urbana, 206 North Maple, between Main and University in Urbana. It's Pards Western Shop since 1968. Or go online and visit Pards.com. Pards.com.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Fighting Illini football is back in Memorial Stadium for Dad's Day and Military Appreciation Day, Saturday, November 11th, as they take on the Indiana Hoosiers. Get tickets for as low as $20 as we celebrate dads for this proud Illinois tradition. All active military personnel are eligible to receive free tickets. Be in your seat early for a special military flyover. Illinois football versus Indiana, Saturday, November 11th. Get tickets and more info at fightingillini.com.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly,
someone mentioned on the U of I Atlanta League text line, I saw him say, mash. Piper, Monster Mash.
Yeah!
I assume that was in response to There Are No Halloweeners.
That's a Halloween one. That's a great call.
Songs, but
it's a great call.
Here's Monster Mash. I don't know if that was a dire mistake or...
I'm kind of enjoying the Piper DJing. I think you got a chance to overtake, huh?